forever.
Y'all ever seen an alien?
Oh, okay. Is that where we're starting today?
Oh, wow. We're just gonna go right to it.
Yeah. Have y'all ever seen, or what's your stance on it? I know we have this talk every now and again, but as years pass, you just straight up believe.
What does that mean to believe in them?
To me, I believe that there's more life on other planets, not just ours.
I just rewatched the X-Files pilot again. Mulder asks Scully, do you believe in aliens? She has a longer answer than this, but her first response is, well, logic would dictate no. That's what she says, logic would dictate no. And it's like, I feel illogical to say there's no life. The universe is infinite.
The government just released those videos.
See, but to me, when people say, do you believe in aliens? It doesn't mean, do you believe that somewhere else in the universe there's other life than ours? It means, do you believe that some type of humanoid alien species has arrived on Earth and are here now? And
that's the rest of her. The rest of her answer is, the technology would have to be. She like goes into that and to come here and blah blah blah. Like that's what the rest of it is. But the first part feels flawed. It's like, well, no, I mean,
but that's
probably life on.
That's because that's usually what people mean when they say it. Because you're not really talking about. Because also, let's just be real. Alien life, aliens, like. If you're like, oh, just life, I believe on life on other planets, it's like
intelligent life.
Okay, there you go. Because I was going to say, you can believe in
intelligent
there's
life.
Microscopic organisms on other planets. That's mm-hmm. technically an alien,
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. I mean, my thing is I do think one day, you know what it is? I hope we don't find out if they're like intelligent lives. Like, I don't want an alien race to come visit Earth. Because my thing is like, if they made it here and we never made it to them first, I'm just not, we're not equipped if they're not friendly.
Yeah.
Why do you have to be first?
Because my thing is like, if their technology is advanced enough to get here, then to me is like, if they're not friendly, I don't know how we defend ourselves.
Here's the thing. If they are, if they're advanced enough to get here, I do think that if they are friendly, we wouldn't really know, right? It would be the like, kind of like alien spaceships that we've seen. Or like the spaceships that we've seen from like the government videos or stuff, and they're like, we don't know what this was.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, cool. Yeah. It's possible that was an alien. They came, we detected them, and they were like, these people aren't advanced enough. We should just leave them alone. We don't want to bother. We don't want to bother them. They like kind of maybe were studying us a little bit, and they were like, all right, let's get out of here. And then they're out, and they probably can't. Yeah. They won't come back for a while.
Yeah, I see that 2020 special or whatever when they had like the government people like talking about it. They showed one clip and I was like, I don't know what this is. But it was like these two jet pilots mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, we had to track this thing. And the ship or whatever it is stops in front of them and just drops straight to the ground and like hovers over the water. And you hear a person go, oh, shit. And then it just like skirts across the water. And I'm like,
did they really say, oh shit?
You heard someone say, oh, you heard like a scream in the background.
Yeah, yeah. Because if it was somebody like, oh shit, I would be like, oh, that's the brother from another planet right there.
Honestly, that was good. Honestly. Bravo.
I'm saying
You did it.
If he was like, oh, shit.
No,
like,
oh. You did it. You don't have to say it again. You did it.
Got it. I mean, you get what I'm saying, James.
Yeah. I'm very upset. I don't like.
Wait, why are you upset?
I don't like.
No, because then Gerard corrected himself. He was like, no, the guy was like, because that made sense because that's a white guy. But if it was like, oh, shit. I'm like, oh, that's.
You know what I'm saying.
I don't want to hear you say it. If he said it like that,
You gonna say more? Just say it.
That's
man.
The brother from another planet.
That was good. That was a good one, man. I ain't gonna lie.
Great. Let's start the show.
Jonathan Braylock,
James the Third,
Gerard Milligan.
What more can I say?
You know what it is.
Black men can jump.
Black X, man.
Black actors. All right, all right.
Welcome to Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Hollywood City.
White folks get stranger all the time.
That's real. That's real.
That's a great
For a
line.
Second, I thought you were going to like... Actually, that was a smarter way, because I think the way I thought you was going to do it was going to be offensive.
What do you think I was going to...
I don't know. I thought you were going to just like pantomime stuff like the brother did.
Like, oh, yeah. Like, be fully silent for...
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm saying my line, but you can't hear it because you're listening to a podcast, and so you can't see what I'm physically doing.
Yeah. That's how I thought was gonna
have. I thought about doing that, and then I thought, why would I...
On an audio.
This is an audio podcast, and therefore...
oh, my God.
For those of you who don't know, this voice that you're listening to right now, that sounds like it should be on National Public Radio because it is calming yet informative.
Why did you why did you say National Public Radio?
Oh, but NPR, for those of you who don't.
Oh, my God.
No. That voice right there is Jonathan Braylock. Introduce yourself.
I took a breath. I needed a breath, okay? Stop smiling at me. Like, why are you so happy? Like, why are you so happy?
Your turn.
I know it's my turn. Ugh, this voice is Gerard Milligan.
And my name is James the Third.
Whoa. That's weird.
Yeah.
This is a film review podcast. We review films of leading Black actors. We talk about them in the context of race and diversity in Hollywood. And today we are reviewing the 1984 film, The Brother from Another Planet, starring Joe Morton, who you may know from T2 Judgment Day.
He the one who fucked up the world. It was him.
Well, no, he ain't doing it on purpose.
He did
it. Terminator is the one that left behind the CPU and the hand. That's the first Terminator's fault, really.
Yeah, I agree.
It was him. It was him. That movie is still.
He was also recently in Justice League. Which did we review Justice?
Yes.
League?
No, because
he played the same part in Justice League. He was Miles Dyson. Like,
yeah, actually, you're right. Actually, you're right. He was this kind of dude. Oh, no.
He was Silas Stone.
But he's also, same... and he's, you know, people will know him from Scandal and everything else. That's Joe Morton.
Joe Morton,
that's
baby.
That's the dude right there.
It's he's good. He's good. I like him a lot. It was a good amount of people in this. The grandma from Family Matters, who was younger but still older, I was so confused.
The grandma for Family Matters. She was younger.
You just recognized her.
Yeah.
Recognized
Bill Cobbs, obviously.
Yes, obviously. He was a great cat. And then the two.
The white dude was somebody, right? The white guy chasing
him. The men in black were. It was John Sayles and David Strathairn, which is.
That's the director, John Sayles.
The director, yeah. And Fisher Stevens is in this also. I jumped out of my seat when he showed up.
Apparently,
he's the dude on the who does the card trick on the subway.
For everyone who doesn't know, that's the guy who's in Brownface and Johnny
that
Five.
That is the guy.
Damn.
He is in Brownface and Johnny Five.
I'm not supposed to like Fisher Stevens.
No.
I mean, he talks about it. It was a white role. Like, he was the role was white when
Man,
he
fuck
got
Fisher
it.
Stevens. Let me know, where am I supposed to feel? No. What's the
he's
great?
Good.
Listen,
had a whole article about it. It was a white part when he got it. They did. It wasn't like him purposely being like, they did it during the
I like Fisher Stevens. He's like such a unique look. But in this movie, he looked young and so different. I was just like, whoa. It was tripping me out a bit. Because I also don't think of Joe Morton as that old. But then I realized that T2 did come out in 91. So I guess he is kind of old. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. This is such an interesting movie.
They say Giancarlo's in here. He's a man getting arrested.
Yeah, it says uncredited.
What?
So the budget for this movie was $350,000. Apparently made over $4 million at the box office.
Oh, wow. A white dude wrote and directed this?
Yeah.
Yeah, John Sayles. Who I'm not super familiar with, but I you know, even though he's a, you know, clearly an accomplished director, but I know him because he was supposed to do Jurassic Park 4. And so for a long time, I was just online reading information about like, oh, what the movie was going to be and what the thing, you know, and he was taking it in a really weird direction. It's going to be,
I mean,
the clones and stuff is him. That's where that little bit of clone stuff in the most recent movie, all of that was stuff he was doing.
Oh, interesting. I don't know really any of these movies he's directed.
Yeah.
He has an NAACP award? What the fuck is
happening? Probably from this movie, like, right?
This movie, yeah.
It's got to be from this movie.
No, it says for Honey Dripper.
Honey Dripper.
Oh, he did
that. Came out in 2007.
Yeah, Kel Mitchell's in that.
What is Honey Dripper?
I never saw it, but Kel Mitchell's in it.
Yeah, Danny Glover.
He's not even the lead. It's mad other people like Danny Glover, Yahya DaCosta, Charles S. Dutton.
I don't know. What the hell?
Yahya's in this?
But Kel is also in it. That's who I know. That's why I know that movie exists, because of Kel.
Okay. I don't know any. I'm looking at every movie he's done. I've never even heard of them.
Listen, this is John Sayles, all right?
All right. Have you
put
seen
some respect on John?
I haven't seen any.
Stop, I haven't seen
his name like it's a thing.
I haven't seen a single one. I'm just very familiar with him because of his Jurassic Park 4 movie that didn't get made.
Yeah, great. He didn't make Jurassic Park 4. Wow. His big credit of not making Jurassic Park 4.
He almost made it though.
All right, James.
He almost made it.
James, the movie has I looked it up and then I forgot it. I think it was like 89% on Rotten Tomatoes, I think. 89, 87, something around there. It's about an alien that crashes on Ellis Island. He looks like a black man and he's kind of just wandering around. We don't really know doing what exactly, but you know, there's a bunch of scenes and vignettes. Basically, he's in Harlem, and eventually two white people dressed in black start looking for him and chasing him, and that's kind of
because they're aliens too, right? Are they aliens?
Yeah 100%.
Yeah, 100%. They're from his planet or from another planet or something. I did think that was interesting. I mean, I know we're not talking about the movie yet, but I did think it was interesting the one moment when we learned that there is racism on his planet too. When they're like, two guys were in here looking for you earlier, and then he touches his face to try to like see if he was black, and then they're like, no, he's white. And he's like, oh shit! Like he knew instantly it was a problem because they were two white.
That is 100% right, and I love that. Okay, I mean, there's not much else to say. Shall we go into initial thoughts?
Yeah.
Let me start, actually, because I actually really enjoyed this movie. I've never seen it before. It's from the 80s. It's a different pace, so you have to get adjusted to it because it's one of those movies that there's not really a plot, which usually bothers me, but there was so much meaning behind the premise of the film to me. That I really enjoyed it because it was like, here's this alien that crashes. And then we're kind of like basically seeing 80s New York through his eyes, right? We're seeing our own world through his eyes. And it's forcing us to like think about things. And there's also something that's funny about like, because I was thinking throughout the film, like what most people think is either he's crazy or he's homeless or he's just a mute person, right? And then like somebody who's mute can be discriminated against, obviously, and it might be harder for them to kind of, I don't know, exist in our societal structures because we have so many, we're very ableist. And so it was just interesting to see all these people, like how they handled like talking to somebody who couldn't talk back to them, you know? And like what that did for every person, and like how much more people feel like they have to talk because like they have to like fill the silence or whatever, you know. We see like the scene with him and the little black boy. That was like, I don't know. There's a lot of interesting dynamics at work, and I kind of liked the like I don't know. There was something about the pacing that was nice. It was a little harder because I was watching it on Tubi, so it had ads, so it made it even longer.
Oh, yeah. Jeez, me, Christmas.
But it was, for the most part, like I enjoyed a lot of the different scenes, and it was also like an interesting reflection on race at certain points. I wish I kind of knew exactly what the men in black were, or like who, like when we, by the end, we see these other people, and they're also, I don't know, they're his race of people, and they're protecting him.
Yeah. But
I wish I knew a little bit more about exactly what that was about. That would be my one main complaint. But I don't know, man. This was an interesting film, and I kind of liked the different pace of it. And it was cool to see a black person. It was cool to see an artsy type of film like this done with a mostly black cast, like in a black setting. You know what I mean? Like that I felt was like, this is dope. Cause it wasn't, I mean, it still had, I guess, like drugs and that kind of thing. But like, I don't know. There was stuff outside of that too, which felt nice. It wasn't just about like, you know, it wasn't just like a hood film. Anyway,
yeah, I respect that.
Yeah,
I agree with a lot of the stuff that you just said. So I'll just say, even just thinking about the drugs thing in particular, there was something about it in the movie where it was almost like the movie was saying it's inevitable that he was going to try these drugs, which was like weird. I thought that was a little weird, but that also might just be me watching the movie now versus like, I don't know if everybody, when this movie comes out, if everybody's like, well, he's probably going to try heroin at some point, you know, or like, like if that's just what the like energy of the time was, you know? Yeah, I really liked it. I really liked it. I've wanted to see this movie for a long time, but I've also been nervous to watch it because of the premise and me feeling like, seeing it would either like make me upset, you know, because of what the premise is, you know, and how it was written by a white guy. But it's so well, I thought it was really well made. I thought the acting was really good. I enjoyed the pacing as well. And I enjoy the like kind of like we do just kind of see him experience all sorts of things. And the way the sort of movie kind of hits when it gets into whatever the new experience is, it kind of hits it head on. I really liked the music. I thought the music choices were really good, and sometimes felt, and this might also just be a 2021 lens on a movie, but some of it felt like a little hokey, like when he sees the pictures of the woman all over the thing. I don't know if it's supposed to feel comical or if we're supposed to feel the love or what it is, you know. But it's intentional and deliberate, and all of that stuff was fun. And I liked the like commentary and how like, you know, I just watched The Courier, that movie with Benedict Cumberbatch, and there's this whole scene between him and the Russian spy where they're like, if more people just sit down and talk like this, that makes the world better. And like, there's that scene in the bar where the white guys are like, yeah, more conversations, that would make the world. And it's just true. Like if more people would talk to people, it would be better. But of course, you know, we know that Joe Morton can't speak. And so they were just talking at him for, for 3 hours. So there's a different sort of connotation there. I don't know. I had a really good time. Really, really liked it. Thought it was really good. Yeah, man, I agree with y'all. This movie's good. I also agree with Bray. Like, it's cool seeing a black person in one of these movies. And you know what? I am happy to have this experience of not liking this movie. You know what I mean? It's great. It's like, I remember watching it. I was like, I don't like these pompous ass artsy for the fucking sake of artsy movies. And you know what? I've never been able to dislike a black one because we never had one with black people in it. So you know what? This is fucking progress.
Never had one with black people in it? I don't know true that statement is.
I don't know. We ain't never reviewed one. So this is the first one I reviewed on this show. But no, man, this movie was good. I just didn't care. Like I knew, literally, one of my friends is in town and he's not a movie person. We cut it on and he was like, man, this nigga gonna do drugs.
Yeah.
Before he even makes it like to the bar, when he finally gets to Harlem and like the guy's begging for money, my friend literally wakes up on the couch. Man, they're gonna make this nigga do drugs. And it like goes back to sleep. And I was like, nah, man, he an alien. And I'm like, damn, yep, that's it. You know what? Look, man. Again, the performances are good.
He does drugs. He plays basketball.
You know what it is? Now knowing it's a white director, so many scenes make sense to me now. Is like him living with this random ass white, them dropping him off with this random ass white lady, and you don't know this dude from Tuesday, and it's like this white, we got some shit to talk about. The movie makes sense to me now. Because I was like, what the fuck am I watching? But now knowing a white person who probably ain't never lived in Harlem wrote a movie about an alien moving to Harlem, this makes sense. This movie makes sense. This nigga out of nowhere. I gotta play it. Let's do it. It's good. The movie, whatever. Is it good? I don't know. Watch it. It's an experience. Fuck it. I don't know. Nigga got three toes. Well, cool. He don't talk. That's an experience. Why doesn't he talk? Does it help the story? Maybe. Does it? Not really. Guys, this is great. Honestly.
Wow, you just went on a journey.
Yeah, there were so, you said so many things.
I don't know, man. It's like I just really dislike movies like this in general. But yeah, it's a black one. But also, now that I know it was written and directed by a white dude, I'm like, it just tanks the whole movie for me. It's not even like a full black person was like, yeah, man, let's do this. I want to do those shots that you see in like a fucking NYU graduate film. And I'm like, oh yeah, cool, man. We got a black dude doing that. But nah, it's just a white dude named John.
I don't like how you said that name, John, though.
Yeah, you like said it like, yeah.
I don't like that.
I didn't say Jonathan. I said John.
I know what you said.
I don't even call you John. Someone said John's name yesterday. And like, oh yeah, your friend John's over there. I was like, what? Your friend John. I was like, I legitimately was confused. I was like, oh, Braylock.
So ridiculous.
I was so confused for like a solid 5 minutes. Sober. Anyway, let's start this baby. Come on. They got three toes. He like a fucking dinosaur. Hey, this is why he got the job from Steven Spielberg. Steven saw this movie and was like, that nigga got fucking triceratops toes. Hire him. That's why he got the job. My nigga got three toes. Like, why? For one line, when he's like, you see his feet? What the hell? Guys, I don't know.
I wanted you to keep talking because it was so interesting. Like,
it's just so, like, thinking about it now, this movie just makes sense. It just makes sense.
Yeah. This movie starts with, it starts with the crash landing, and we see like his foot got chopped off or something, mm-hmm. right? And he's bleeding and limping, and but then he does this little thing and he heals it. So, you know, right up top, we learn, okay, this dude's got healing powers. And he sees New York, he's on Ellis Island, he sees the Statue of Liberty in the distance, and he sees a boat, he jumps off the thing, gets on the boat, gets over to Manhattan, and he's kind of walking around.
He got no shoe. Does he have a shoe on yet?
He's got no shoes yet. He's got three toes. I forgot when he gets clothing. He sees like,
I feel like I remember him like once he gets out of that warehouse, because he starts off in a warehouse.
He's in a warehouse like he's freaking out, and I couldn't understand what was happening. But then later on, they kind of show this again where it's like if he like touches things where people have been, he like sees
pain or something.
He sees flashes of their like what's happened there. So it was just like it was overwhelming him. And I guess it's just because there's so many people in New York City. It's like whatever was happening there, he was like, like he was getting freaked out by that.
Yeah, because I remember like he was running around from stuff, but like was it a body? Like I feel like something was scary was in that room when he first like comes to Earth, right?
I don't remember that specifically, even though I did just watch it, but I remember him touching things and, you know, and like hearing the sounds of things.
That was one of his powers. And then, I mean, he gets dressed. I actually forget how he gets to Harlem, because I do remember when he goes uptown, he sees the card trick, but I feel like he was already in Harlem before that scene happened.
It was.
Doesn't he get on a boat?
He gets on a boat.
Get on a ferry or something?
Yeah, but how does that ferry doesn't go to Harlem.
Hey, Bray, what are you doing?
What?
Bray, the white dude has never been to Harlem until he shot this movie.
No.
This nigga has never visited Harlem.
Come on. He knew about the A-train. He knew about the A-train.
First off, he knew about the A-train. The only shot of Harlem is the Apollo in the background. It's that strip where the Apollo's behind and you're walking and it's the Bank of America. That's the first strip we see.
Well, yeah, that's
and do you know what the rest of this is, Bray? You know what it's just the rest of this? Lower East Side.
You mean where he actually shot it?
Yeah, this nigga wasn't going to Harlem every week to shoot this movie. And then he got his one exterior. He's like, hey, yo, man, I gotta go. Look, I'm going to Lower East Side.
Is that just an assumption you're making, or did you recognize landmarks and you're saying?
Yeah.
Just saying.
Where, yeah.
Are
how did
just
you know
on
that?
This dude because he white? That's
I
so
know.
Messed up.
Wait a minute. You just wait a minute. I thought you had I thought you read that somewhere. You just saying it? There was a bunch of brownstones, dude. How do you didn't find those brownstones on the Lower East Side?
What's funny when the white dudes get lost and they're like, hold on, are we lost in Harlem? And I was like, there are certain points where you can just look at the numbers and figure out where you at.
Oh,
like,
yeah, dude, I really wanted to know. I was like, what? Where were you and what were you talking about that you just all of a sudden wound up in Harlem and didn't know you were in Harlem? It was so ridiculous. I was like, did you just wander off the sub? Like, you didn't know what subway stop you got off of? I definitely have accidentally stayed on an express train and gone further than I was supposed to.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that I wasn't there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they covered it a little bit because they were from Indiana or something. Like they were
they were out of town.
But still, it was but you know what? You likely got out at a numbered street and you can just,
you know, you were in Harlem. You know, you were
yeah,
in Harlem.
Maybe they got out at 103 and then they just kept walking. You know, they just were like, and they walked the wrong direction.
Then you just walk
they're
back
like,
to
oh, this is the park. Like, this is where the park is. Let me walk along the park.
Well, maybe they accidentally walked and they were like, OK, now we're on Malcolm X Boulevard. I don't know what avenue that is, you know?
The avenues do change.
It's like it's all of a sudden it's like it's Saint Nicholas now, you know, like it's like, wait a minute, what avenue is this? You know? What avenue is Saint Nicholas?
This feels very I don't know, Harlem.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing, is if they would have said that, that does make it feel like John Sayles just doesn't know Harlem. Because if they would have said what street are we on, you know, and then called out a street that's not a numbered street or something.
Are we on Amsterdam? Because that's Amsterdam is near Harlem. It's like, oh, are we? Because they could have been like, I'm trying to go to Columbia. You know what? We're thinking too much. Then white folks.
I don't know which side to be on now. I don't know if I should be on the white
dude side. I disagree
that
this white person, people getting lost scene showed that he doesn't know Harlem. I don't agree with those
characters didn't know Harlem. That's what it showed.
I just think the scene was dumb as fuck.
They're from Indiana.
I think the scene was, you know what it is? This is the thing. And this movie does it. Like, this movie is a prime example of it. Now that I'm known as a white dude, like, this movie is like all those other white films about black people. Well, all of a sudden it's just white people doing shit in like black areas. It's like, it's going to be a well-to-do white person. Hear me out. Any one of these movies, if you look at
the lady that
the random white lady, like super helpful out of fucking nowhere. It's like, it makes no sense. What it does is I can't have a movie about like black oppression, which is usually caused by white people, without having one well-to-do white person in the movie. Anytime there is a movie written by a white person, is always a magical white person who does right. It's
she
not like
a, she wasn't really a savior though. Like,
she housed that nigga, gave him clothes.
Because we also had the black social worker as well. She didn't stand out to me. I mean, you are still right that there was
that woman could have been black.
Well-to-do.
Why was that white woman there? Why was that not a black woman?
You're right. And she was in a relationship with a black man. That's who the child was, right? That was her son.
Yeah, it was her son.
And so, I mean, this is the same thing that you talk about all the time of like it had to be this interracial couple and the you know, whatever.
The dad a deadbeat, the dad don't come. Man.
But I don't know. This what? didn't bother me.
There's so many black people in this movie. There's two. Yeah, this movie. There's like three other black women. Like
my point is the romantic interest
of the black woman.
My point is the person, the woman we see with the most agency, the most energy. That black woman we see at the end, she comes at minute, hour, 56 minutes or some bullshit, and she's in one scene, has sex with him. Fine, I get it. But
she's
the woman we see who helps him is a
white woman. It's factually accurate.
It's a white woman throughout most of this movie who doesn't literally is like a forced character in this movie. And I'm telling you, you can see it in this movie.
Not to
you
mention
can
the see grandma a token white is person, also there.
But that's my fucking point. The grandma's black. My point is that they're always dropping a magical white person to do right by black people. That is my point.
Wait, why is she magical? A black man brought him to her. Specifically.
Literally, she houses people. He says it. Yeah, she houses people. She houses boarders. She literally boards black people.
Yeah, but you know what she does do, though? At the end, she's like,
Why does that make her magical?
She doesn't say that.
She says, wait. No, she doesn't. She says, you're going to wait for them in the hallway. You talking about for the other white cops?
Because the guys came around and she kicks them out.
Yeah, she like, when it gets too real, she's like, nah, nigga, you got to be out on the street. So they do. I mean, for as much as she was helpful at the end, she's like, who ends up helping him is his own
all, every character who comes into play helps him at some point.
I don't think you understand my point. My point is, if you watch a movie, literally written by a white person involving black people, it could be. What is that movie with the? Was it Hidden Figures? They're magical. There's literally white people invented for that movie.
Y'all remember when Robert De Niro wasn't even real in Men of Honor?
That's my point. I was just about to say that. Men of Honor. It's another white person.
Of course it's not the same.
Those are historically inaccurate films. We're talking about something complete. This is completely made up. This is called The Brother from Another Planet.
I'm talking about
compared
movies,
to Hidden Figures and Men of Honor.
I'm talking about movies written about black people by white people that insert a white person into
like
that
he's
movie.
He's talking about Wrinkle in Time.
So you just think that if a white person writes a movie about a black person, there should be no white people in the movie?
If it's about oppression, what I'm telling you is, I'm going to break it down. This is not being rude. I'm trying to break it down. If this is a movie about black people in suffrage of some sort,
time out.
Okay. It is, because he literally is solving the crack epidemic in Harlem by the end of the movie.
I mean, he's not solving the crack epidemic.
I mean, he literally is like, yo, we got, like, he's literally trying to stop crack in Harlem.
He's trying
by the end
to
of the
stop
movie.
One person because the a kid that
he
saw. He's
trying
saw,
to stop
I thought
crack
cool.
in Harlem.
I thought it was cool when he gets to
I'm
the,
not saying
the white dudes.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's bad.
The white dudes
well,
are the
I
ones
disagree
that
he's trying to solve the crack epidemic.
On the streets. That was cool.
He is. If you go, if I'm a person who lives on my block and there's a drug dealer on my block and I'm trying to get this drug dealer off of my block, I am trying to stop drugs from being in my neighborhood. He sees a black drug guy in Harlem. He's like, yo, I got to track this nigga down. And he's trying to stop. I'm saying in a grand scheme, but he's trying to stop crack in Harlem. And my thing is, it is a suffrage movie. And when you look at the lineage of white movies, of black people written by white folks, it is literally a white person inserted in that movie that did not need to be there and could have been another race. That's all I'm saying. And this movie continues that trend. That's all I'm saying. Whether you like it, whether it makes sense, it fucking happens. That woman could have been a goddamn Latino. She could have been Asian.
Gerard, you're not wrong that there's always a white character like that it has to be helpful. Otherwise, like, maybe white people aren't going to like this movie. Here's my question, though. Do you think white people ever help people of color, like, ever?
I do, but my thing is, it's the problem. Like, for instance, when I watched, what was it? The Judas and the Black Messiah. Purposely, they even had interviews after that. It's like, purposely, yeah, of course there are people who help the cause. But at every point, we don't need to see. They purposely didn't do it because we don't... It is concerning in so many movies.
That movie is specifically about a black civil rights leader and the movement around him. That's different than a fictional film
had help
about alien who's not actually black.
It doesn't matter if it's fiction or nonfiction. My point still stands is that if it's a movie that deals with black suffrage, period, historical, whatever. It could be on fucking Mars for all I care. And if it's written by a white person, there will be an inserted person there. It's like, I don't care. It's still the thing. It's still the thing.
Are we saying there was no white people in Judas and the Black Messiah? Were there no white people in any scene there?
There was no helpful.
No
white
helpful.
No,
so there are no white people in all of their scenes where they're meeting and stuff. Wait, hold on.
There's
no helpful white people when they go. When Fred Hampton goes and tries to do the Rainbow Coalition, we're not considering those white people helpful.
What did they do to help him?
They joined the coalition.
Braylock, do they actually? When you see them, and by this, what I mean is, do they help him do? Do you see them literally help this nigga get out of like? Duck him from the cops. Do you see them take him in? He goes to them.
This black dude literally wasn't ducking from the cops.
We're watching them. He does the work, is my point. In that movie, Fred Hampton is
right,
doing
and that's
the
what
work.
I'm telling
he
you. The black dude, the social worker, he's the person who did the work. He's the person who figured out where to put this black man, how to get him a job. He was the one who was doing all the work. The white woman, she barely did anything. And then the grandma
kick
was.
Him out. She kicked him out.
She fed that nigga, get that nigga clothes and a house. So. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. That nigga had no money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but she wouldn't. It wasn't her who found him or anything. It was this other guy.
It would be here's my thing about this, because I see what both of you are saying. I feel like if they would have done like a thing where it's like where the first person we see in Harlem is that woman and. Like her character was like going through, was like a central character who we were like trying to like feel for and like connect with her experience on a deeper level than just she's the woman who has the house. Then I would feel like it is more egregious, like those like Hidden Figures stories or like those, you know. But she is just kind of like. This she to me in this feels like a more secondary character, so it doesn't feel as egregious as those other movies, but it feels like Gerard, your point still stands because you're like, because all that it is like it's like that character could have been right, like that character could have been
that woman did not need to be white in any way. She lives in a hood. She lives in a neighborhood in a building so bad this nigga gets robbed and cut in the building.
I mean, they literally do the same thing that they do with...
But it's interesting to see different types of characters who live in Harlem and this type of woman
like
lives
Latinos.
In Harlem.
I don't know. Like Latinos who live in Harlem.
But we did see Latinos. We saw him
the woman that played what race was the woman that played the video game? That he played against. I couldn't tell.
Oh, I couldn't tell.
Because it was dark
either.
In there.
Yeah, but the other dude, the other guy who worked there was
Hector.
Latino. Yeah,
Hector,
like we saw,
Hector kept getting...
We were seeing all of the different people who live in Harlem. We saw black women too. We saw three black women. And then we saw one white woman. It was one white woman. And that was it. And then two white men were...
And my point still stands that they put... I hear what you're saying. I'm not disrespecting what you're saying. You're right. But I'm still saying the same thing. If you look back at movies written by white people with black folk, wherever they live, doesn't matter if it's slavery times, doesn't matter if it's historical, doesn't matter if they're on the fucking moon, there will be a white person who does right in that movie. Period. And I'm not saying that's not existing. I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
Who does
what I'm saying
right.
is it always makes the cut.
And like I said, in Judas and the Black Messiah, there are white people who do right. They do right.
I don't know. You're not. They don't help. No, you're
y'all
not.
They joined the coalition. That's really the right. That was the right thing to. That was the right thing to do. That was the right thing to do.
There's other things.
Was joining the coalition
movie.
The wrong thing to do? No, it was the right thing to do. So there are white people in the movie who do right.
We can talk about other stuff.
If we're gonna break it down in these basic building blocks.
So you're telling me that? No. So time out. You're telling me the people who made Jews in the Black Messiah when they said they purposely did not put a helpful white person in that movie?
Yeah, they messed up. They showed white people who joined the coalition, so they messed up.
All right. Okay,
they messed
that's
up.
By your logic.
They tried
you're
to
right.
do it and then they failed. They showed white
you're
people
right.
who do the
I
right
say,
thing.
I will say, right. when they
damn,
when
they fucked up in their own movie.
You know,
God damn it.
I will say, when they cut to the scene and we saw the white people at the coalition, I was like, I'm glad those white people showed up to the court.
Yeah, of course.
Like I was.
That's a part of the thing. One, because it's a part of the real story.
The way they do it is they cut.
You're right.
To them.
You know what? You're
they,
right.
Push in
it
on
was
them
not fictionalized added into the movie. You are right.
Right,
it was not fictionally added into the movie. Yeah. It wasn't a random person just popped into that movie because we're like, oh, we need a happy white person to do right. You're right. I agree. Let's move on.
Okay, wait. Y'all remember the scene when he goes to fix the when he goes to fix all the video games and the guy keeps being like, you forgot your tools. I thought that was funny. I thought that was
funny. Well, it was funny before that. So before, like when he fixes this thing and nobody's like, wait, they're just like, oh, he fixed that? He had no tools. He just went in the back and they were like, oh man, this guy's got talent.
He didn't even
the whole bar scene. He doesn't all even the bar like scenes were
move.
Fun.
You don't even see him moving to fix the thing. He just touches it and then it works. And
they weren't
no
paying attention, but
an
right. They weren't paying attention, but also he had no tools. So it was like, what did they think he did? Like press the button. But the
Cat
whole
was like, why is no one looking at him? Why is no one?
He's literally doing magic and no one cares.
A strength. Okay. Sorry. A dude came in. He's saying nothing. He came in. He said no words at all. You tried to acknowledge.
Looks
him.
Homeless.
He didn't. He doesn't even look at most of the people. Then he gets up and just starts touching stuff. I'm sorry. I'm a
bro. I did like the guy who was like diagnosis, and he just like came. He like tried to speak to him in different languages. He was like, okay, not that. And then he like brought over like a little like whiskey to see if he was like a drunk, and he was like, nope. Diagnosis, he's crazy.
Yeah, he didn't like
they
the
would
whiskey
never let that
that
nigga.
He was crazy.
They would never let that man sit in there that long. There's no way.
Why not?
You look homeless. Have you ever seen literally a homeless person walk into a bar and be able to allow it to just sit at anywhere in the bar?
I was shocked at how open everybody was to him. Nobody was as much as they were like unnerved, that nobody was like, hey man, you gotta get out of here. Like that almost never. It only happened to him when he was like eating the fruit at the stand, and then mm-hmm. taking the money. But he was both of those things were illegal. So they,
right. Yeah.
But like anytime he was like just in a place, and especially in those like tattered clothes that
yeah.
have blood on them, right? Like they mm-hmm. there must be a smell. Like there's got to be
right.
And everyone was so open to him. That was so odd.
Well, the bar was like because the bar was like somewhat. Empty, and those guys all knew each other, and he wasn't like doing anything erratic, like he wasn't like right. screaming or yelling or whatever. I liked the fact that they kind of were like they had like a lot of compassion for this dude because they were like, I don't know, this dude is messed up, but and like it's not like they weren't like he kept talking to him like, are you gonna drink, or like why are you in here, you know.
It's one of those things like in this era I was like, I do love that they were super compassionate, but then like logically, I was like, okay, you got this dude in here, and then the black guy comes and he's like, I'm gonna take you to a place, and it's to where a woman lives with a kid. I was like, this, yeah. You don't know this dude.
Yeah, it felt weird, but she had a habit of like her.
It
she,
just felt
she
dangerous.
Had the bleeding
this is a drug
heart,
era.
Like, what's that?
This is a drug era. Yeah. Like this is when like this is literally when shit was at its peak and like not safe.
Yeah,
especially in New York. How everyone moved in this move, like, and I'm not, I know I have been saying it disrespectfully, but now that I'm thinking back to it, how the black folk move in this movie don't make sense to the black folk of this era. It just, there is no caution. You know what I mean? Like there's like,
caution of other.
I mean, he's a social worker. These are the people he deals with.
Before they even get to him. But my thing is, even if it's a social worker, before he actually shows up, it's like, okay, they're really not worried. They're not too scared. They do the little test. But then even that guy to take him not to a place where he suggested the first time, like a home or something like that, but to a woman's house. And we don't know if this man is like safe enough to be there yet because we've been around him all for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He hasn't talked. Like it just doesn't, certain parts don't feel realistic in a way where I'm like, I don't know if I can rock with it.
That's
yet.
Not realistic to anyone. Like, regardless of
yeah,
your race.
That's
like,
just why, a movie.
Like, it was odd that they came to that conclusion so quickly.
But I figured, like, they probably thought he wasn't a drug addict.
and that he just like had some mental health problem, and he was also mute, like he couldn't right. speak, you know.
And he definitely needed to go somewhere, right?
And I also think it's more realistic that a white woman would take him in than a black woman.
I don't know that, man.
I mean,
especially this white woman.
Yeah, because her thing at the time was trying to help people that were like, it seemed like specifically her focus was the drug epidemic. And she was like, let me just try to help as many people as I can.
She wanted to be Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, that was her dream. Her dream was
that was her dream.
But it did feel quick. It felt quick that they took him to her. But then she was cool. I was surprised that no one ever saw his.
They
toes.
Took him. Did they take him to her after he fixed the pinball?
Fixed the pinball that night.
The other thing was like, oh look, he can work. Like so, maybe he's not just crazy.
That was exactly the plan, right? Like they gave him somewhere to stay, then immediately took him somewhere to try to get him to get some work so he could be like doing something, you know, have something to do.
Then they get him a job, right?
I think it's immediately after this, they take him to this, you know, to the arcade.
Yeah, because we see the men in black creeping around at some point. But yeah, he goes to this arcade.
They call him Three Toes. Three Toes. It was like, oh,
Three Toe.
Okay.
Have you seen his feet? Have you seen his feet?
Have you seen creeps. His feet?
Creeps.
This guy, this worker, he said two racist things. He was like, the black people, they're good with their hands, but they don't get the big picture. And then he was like, Spanish people, they work really hard, but they have no sense of time.
Yeah.
It's funny. I think that white guy at the end says that too, right? The white guy at the end says, "You people, I shouldn't have got into business with you people. You don't think about the bigger picture."
Yeah,
the white drug dealer.
Same, similar, very similar thing. Similar weird specific racism.
Like, yeah,
black people can't see the bigger picture.
But meanwhile, you're talking to an alien and you have no, like you're not open to even this grant. I thought that was cool.
Cause then when the dude said that racist shit, didn't he say that to the social worker with the black dude standing right there? Like the black,
I think
the social worker.
He said the racist black thing to the Spanish guy, I feel like.
And then he said the
racist Spanish thing
to the black dude.
I think to the black dude.
Yeah. And then when Hector spoke to him in Spanish, he yelled at him.
He's like, no, you know English, only English. Yeah. Yeah. Goodness gracious. I'm trying to remember the other. Well, because we have a scene with him and the kid. The kid has like a little, you know, nick on his knee and he heals that. There are also a lot of like subtle like alien references throughout the movie. Like on the TV, they're like talking about it. Like we see it like. In the newspaper.
Like Inquirer has like, I sold my organs to a UFO, you know, or whatever.
Like people keep saying things like, man, it's like a freaking alien planet. You know, like there's a lot of like those like things dropped everywhere. I'm trying to think of like some of the other scenes that I liked because it was kind of, I mean,
I liked the scene when the men in black are like, I liked the way that people treated them when they presented themselves as immigration officers, but I also really liked the moment of like them asking the one black dude, I think he was the guy who was playing the video game, but when they asked him to give his papers and he has that like speech about like, man, we built this country. And he just like goes on a like this diatribe about like, how dare you ask me for my papers?
Right.
I thought that like
he said,
like
we built South Carolina. And so the other guy said, how do you build a state? He said, there was nothing there.
Then when they go to the white woman and they're like, you know, we're immigration. And she's like, a man died of an overdose last night. And you care about some little piece of paper. Like I thought all of the way that they talked to them is immigration. I thought that stuff was cool.
Agreed.
And the speaking of the like, how do you build a state? I liked the varying opinions of the bar flies. Like everyone at the bar had like sort of a different opinion about like the state of the race or of the culture in America.
Right.
I thought that stuff was cool too, and well done.
That part, okay, I tried. That part was hard for me. that part was hard because I'm like, I have never heard, even if I'm talking to y'all, if I've ever heard someone say, if one of y'all say, yeah, man, you know, black people, you know, we built Augusta, Georgia, you know, we all the courthouse, everything. I'm like, yeah, that's true. I mean, that's and like, it'll be a moment.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, nigga, what? Who the fuck built? You know, what I'm saying? I have never experienced someone being like, "Yeah, man, black people, yeah, man, we came over here first. You know, it was nothing there. We built it, man, nigga." Like they didn't say it like that, but it was like I've never seen the camaraderie experience before. So I was like, again, for me personally, this movie now makes 100% sense, and that's not good or bad. I'm just like, I get it. Like it just,
yeah.
I've heard this, like even there's certain things like in ways I don't know. Like Bray knows more about sports, but if he talks to me about like, you know, like the owners and like how NFL owners, you know, like there's not black owners or owners of color. I'm like, yeah, man, they ain't gonna let niggas be an owner. And I feel like it's a different camaraderie to being like, man, we gonna get a nigga owner suit. I don't know.
It was kind of like the bar, because it was like older generation and younger generation. Like, so it's kind of like in Barbershop when like Cedric is saying stuff and they're like, what are you talking about? You don't know who you're talking about, nigga. That's what it was.
What it felt like to me too. Like it was not so much, I wouldn't think that the old, I think it was the older guy that said, how do you build a state, right? Or, okay, I can't remember who it was, but
it was the older guy
It was Bill Cobbs. Yeah, I wouldn't think that he would disagree with like someone saying like, you know, we built the White House or whatever, like a specific thing, like we built all the buildings in blank, but calling out the like, the sort of, because it's like grandstanding to be like, we built this state, you know, calling specifically that out. It just feels like a fun, like character thing, unless it did to me anyway.
Right. Cause that was their, like, they were kind of going back and forth at it before those guys came in,
you know,
but they were all like, on the same page. They all were like, screw these guys. They literally wind up fighting them.
That part was good. That part
the
was
fights
good.
Were funny because like it was like they were like boop boop. They were like jumping up and down, like doing like these weird moves.
The fights. Okay, so there was a couple things.
It was like
this.
Beat It. That's what it was like watching the Beat It music video. That's what the fights were.
There was a couple things that I was just like, man, if this had a better budget, the fights might have been better. You know, like because it was
on purpose that bad.
Yeah,
though.
It was all right, he throws the pool cues. Like and then they're ducking the pool cues. And it's like, all right, but
also they were so overly alien as like the two white guys were super alien.
They were overly alien for
even
sure.
Even when they chase him, their hands are like in philosophy. Yo, this is why he got the job, Jay. They literally their hands are in like a T-Rex form when they're running the whole time.
Crazy.
Like I was like, is this on purpose? And I was like, oh, it is. It is legit on purpose that they do this. Wait, so all the mute aliens are black. Right, because the people at the end were aliens too, just like him.
Were they all aliens?
Right,
I assume so.
Yeah,
I thought so
because they were all not saying anything and staring weird. And why would they be scared of regular humans? Because they were clearly much stronger than humans.
The commentary is black people don't have a voice. They don't have a voice. They're not allowed to speak in society. It's fucked up.
That might be. I mean, because the white aliens could speak and stuff and like adapt, and none of the black ones did. Because the one at the end just gives them a look and he points
but
down.
They both do the, you know, they do the, you know, where are we going up? And he goes, we're going down. You know, they do the thumbs up, thumbs down thing that they've been doing throughout the movie.
And they're going downtown. That's why I got on the A train.
Yeah.
That is true.
Let's get on that A train. I mean, look, man.
Y'all remember when he took his eye out?
Yes.
Oh,
how
yeah.
How do we not talk about that?
That was crazy.
And it was just sitting out in the open.
Y'all, a squirrel got that. Like, why? He was able to come back and just get his eye? Nah. A pigeon swooped in and ate that. That eye wasn't staying there.
I will say I was scared when he did drugs because I was like,
I didn't know at this point what, I didn't know if we're going to see a whole nother movie, like he's addicted to drugs and we got to watch this alien get it, like become a drug addict. I had no clue what's happening. I just, my friend had left by that point, and all I kept hearing in my head was, the nigga going to do drugs. And I was like, yeah.
Nah, this nigga ain't going to do drugs.
My thing was like, why did a Rastafarian pimp show up? Like right at that moment, like what? Like where'd he come from? Like
he was like, "I'm gonna take you on a trip, baby."
I was like, "Yo, wait, what? Where is this dude?"
You are right. He definitely didn't need to do drugs. I don't.
It really felt like the movie was saying, if a black alien lands in Harlem, he's gonna do drugs.
Like what? Because like
he has to come.
Especially the way that it happened, it was just like he sees a dead body with a needle in his arm, and then he puts that needle in his own arm?
My man, my man, okay, this is the thing.
Like,
okay?
I thought he was going to first try to heal the guy.
Absolutely. Thought he was going to heal
everybody else.
He also he also struggled to understand money the whole movie.
Yeah, he really
did.
But
he instantly knew how to do these drugs and thought, taking this needle out of this dead boy.
Dead kid. Dead kid.
Yeah,
this
he was dead.
Dead boy
it's a
is
kid.
What
he knew what
he knew
death
how
was.
To do it instantly.
I got
I didn't like that. And then when he was on the basketball court, he instantly knew how to sink a half court.
I weirdly did like that part. I agree that there didn't need to be basketball in this film at all. And now that I'm looking back on it, I'm like, okay, yeah, clearly a white director did this because they were like, well, we got to add basketball and we got to add drugs. But I did like that he made the shot because I like that he studied it. He was like, and then he just made the shot. And the kids were like, all right, this dude's all right.
Yes.
He's weird, but he can shoot. Because I was like, honestly, that's exactly how I would feel. I'd be like, if some weird dude like had a ball, I'd be like, come on, dude. And then they shot and he made it. I'd be like, all right.
not too bad.
He can shoot. He might not be that bad after all.
I love that. No, man, that part made me laugh. But also, like, yeah, when he did the drugs, and also when he did a move when he first took the drugs that I could not let go of. He, like, started shaking his face real fast. Yeah. I was like, yo, what
What's
is
happening
right now?
Yeah, truly.
He was like, I mean, you know.
But sincerely, what a tour de force on Joe Morton's.
True.
Because, like, he was silent the whole movie. I felt and understood everything he was going through. Everything. It was like so, he did such a great job. But his eyes are so expressive and stuff too. It's why I can't watch the scene when he dies in T2 because he's so,
it's tough.
So emotional, and you see him dealing, he's on his last breaths. He's just an incredible actor. He's so good.
I mean, my favorite movie of his is I'm scared to say.
Why are you getting all quiet?
Because it's not the best movie, but I remember seeing it and it was a black dude in it, so I was mad hype. I really like Blues Brothers 2000. I'ma say it, okay? I know it's not the original, but like when he shows up and like he doesn't like them at 2000? First and all of a sudden he just jumps. I know.
2000.
I know. Remember when he like jumps and all of a sudden the suit comes on him and now he got the black suit and the shades in the store and he just out here with them niggas. I was like, yo, man, I know it's not the best. That shit was fire. I don't care what nobody says. And he was also on this show. Was it Eureka?
Was he on Eureka? I still haven't. I've been meaning to watch that. I might watch it.
I watched a couple seasons. Before I say it wrong, don't let me be racist.
I think it is only a couple seasons.
Yes. Isn't he was on Eureka.
Or how long did it last? That last for a while?
Wow, it says from 2006 to 2012. So I guess, yeah. Not,
oh, okay. Pretty long. 6 years.
Pretty long.
Okay, Eureka. All right, 5 seasons. Damn, I didn't know that.
Wow, he has a really good career, man. He's great. I like this dude, man. Wow. He was in Mission. Wait, he was in the TV show Mission Impossible.
Oh, hell yeah.
Wow, that was his first TV credit, Mission Impossible. Look at him.
Was he a regular on it? Is that
No. It was a bit part, but I was like, I just like seeing the evolution of people's career.
Yeah. You know, somebody had some thread that apparently every actor in the world was in Miami Vice.
Oh, the TV show?
Yeah, like if you go back and watch it, you'll see like just the most random people.
What is that, Law and Order now? That's Law and Order for Law and Order SVU for all the New York actors. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Different world. I don't remember. I feel every time somebody talks about a different world very specifically, I feel just a little less black because I, as much as I watched it, the only thing I remember from it is Dwayne Wayne and that Jasmine guy was on it. Like that's all I
dated Whitley? Melissa just said he's the guy Whitley left at the bar. Wow.
At the altar.
What? That's him?
Okay. Okay, well there it is.
What?
Yeah. And this is one of those moments. This is one of those moments.
Yo.
I was a little young for a different world. Like I watched some of it, but it also, you know, it came out before I was born.
I just started watching reruns of it because Rachel started watching it recently. And I'm like, yo, I forgot Jada Pinkett was on it.
Yeah.
And like,
That I remember. I do remember that. Who else? And then what's her name? But, you know, from obviously the show. It's, you know.
Oh, she was definitely leaving him. Mm-mm, he couldn't compete with Dwayne. They said she was leaving this nigga. He looked like the dude who get left at the. Oh man, they set him up. All right,
they set him up.
Look, man. Look, I always say Hollywood. You did right. This movie is progressive because for me, it is an artsy fartsy movie. All right, with a black lead doing artsy fartsy things, and you know what? We deserve to be artsy fartsy too. Like, I'm dead ass. That's not even shade. It's like, I really, it's like, this is, yeah, man. If you'd have told me this movie premiered at like Tribeca or something in 1984, I'm like, yep, this feels right. And like, good for this black dude for being the lead in this jump.
Zola's so, artsy fartsy, right?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Zola shouldn't have been, don't get me started.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He didn't like Zola, remember?
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying, but he started this saying there are no black movies that are artsy. Like, that's artsy fartsy. Isn't?
Well, it's like, you know what it is?
It's like artsy-fartsy black movie.
Well, it's like, you know what it is? I think Zola is supposed to be artsy-fartsy, but it's not. It's like
this movie came out in 1984. Oh, sorry.
This is an artsy-fartsy movie. Yeah, like this movie feels like, man, you gotta watch it and experience what we're saying
for yourself.
Zola
is the now. Like, it's a ratchet. This is what we do now.
It's a ratchet movie that A24 does, and all their movies are artsy. So it's like it became artsy because of them. But this movie was made artsy, and it's like we're not gonna have him talk. He gonna express with his body and his hands. I can hit a pitch that he gonna go around Harlem and experience stuff. That he gonna do drugs. He gonna be like no, and then he gonna come down. He's gonna find a drug dealer, and he gonna say to him without any words.
I thought it was cool that
he put his fingertips on that man.
I know
lips.
We're like done, but he I thought it was cool that he. He showed the drug deal. So
yeah. That's right.
Then that made me think, is he, when he touches stuff and hears the sounds, does he see it?
Yes.
Like,
ooh, I think so.
He witnesses all of that.
Because he like.
Because he.
Remember
he
saw
the subway.
The wall. Exactly. Yeah, like yeah. Somebody like jumped he looked, it or killed. Got,
and
yeah.
He saw her. Oh, damn.
Yeah. Or felt her.
I mean, that's a good reveal.
It was like an interesting lore that they were making for these aliens. You know, it was very like, whoa. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, the movie doesn't necessarily build to anything because you know.
What do you mean? You know,
it
what?
Only builds. It builds to him showing the drug dealer.
I mean, the drug dealer stuff is like. It's not like that's what the movie was about. That stuff came in a little bit, and then he like.
Well,
does
was
thing.
It Bray? Was the
it's not the beginning or the end of the film.
Well, here was my thing. My thing is when he was there and he was like staring at the hoop and like we start hearing the mathematics tripping off his head.
Yeah,
we know where this is going.
Then
yeah.
Y'all know. And then he throws the ball. This is what I feel like should have happened. He throws the ball, and then right before it goes in, a hammer just knocks the ball out of
the
way.
That's not what I
thought
you were
going to
say.
Get that weak shit out of here. And then Steel is there, and then it's just like a one-on-one. They like go, it's them. They go head-to-head, you know. This alien ain't got shit on me. And then they just like, they doing the basketball back and forth.
Oh, my God. You know?
Then it's a crossover.
Get that weak shit out of here. Wow.
Get that weak shit out of here.
I thought you were going to say, like, another ball, like, hits his ball out
I was
going to
say that, but
in.
Then I was like, I've been sleeping on the hammer. for too long.
That's true. That's true.
I've been sleeping
true.
On the
that's
hammer because he got the hammer. You know what actually happens? He doesn't. The hammer doesn't.
James, no.
The hammer
James.
Doesn't come in. A laser. He doesn't use the hammer. Remember? So he lasers it. The ball disintegrates. Then
hey, Bray.
Spins another ball
Bray?
In.
Let's end it. We can end this now. Yeah.
And then he's like, and then he spins another ball in. And then the kids are like, what all the right, hell is all this?
Right, enough of this. It's time for the cause. We rate review films not based on how much we like them, but whether or not they help the cause of more leading black actors in Hollywood. If we feel like the film fully helps the cause, we give it a black fist. If it somewhat helps the cause, we give it a white palm. And if it doesn't help the cause at all, we don't give it anything. So on the count of three, we're going to raise our ratings for The Brother from Another Planet. One.
Yeah, hold on. Give me a second. I'm sorry. I'm not ready.
You got to think it's about this one. Two.
No, I need time, bro.
All right. And here we go. Here's your time. And three.
Three black fists. Three it black makes fists. Sense.
Yeah, I'm going to say this, though. I did almost give it a palm because of everything Gerard's been saying. But it was like, did this white man just use black people to make this movie?
I mean, in the literal sense, yes.
In the literal sense. In the literal sense.
I do think that this movie that has a lot of rich black characters, great black actors, and also some, the commentary I thought was pretty strong, and ultimately positive, like or trying to effect positive change. So that's why I gave it a fist.
Yeah, man. I honestly gave it a fist to everything you said. And again, for a very long reason, it's like, it's not whether or not you like the movie, but if it helps the cause of leading black actors. And I think, I didn't like this movie. I think this generally did help Joe. I think it did exactly what the podcast says. It's like, it's a different type of movie. Yeah, it still deals with, racism and drugs, but that's our plight as Hollywood acting African-Americans. But I think the performances were great. So it helped the cause.
Steele shoots the ball. The ball disintegrates.
James Braylock has to go.
And we also talk about there are not that many sci-fi films where a black person leads. And so this was another one of those too, which is, it was cool. And it's great. Like, I don't know, how many times does Joe Morton get to lead a film,
True. True.
So
have we done Event Horizon?
We haven't, and how dare you?
No.
What? I don't want to watch that
Fishburne
scary
the,
ass movie.
Is Lawrence Fishburne is the lead?
He is the lead. He is the lead.
Okay.
It's a tough.
I didn't know if
I'm
what that
saying,
other white dude
I'm not saying
is
we
elite.
Should watch it.
Sam Neill is the co-lead though, right? Is he is he a co-lead or is it really like I've seen the scariest part of Event Horizon.
It's terrifying.
I've seen but I haven't seen the whole movie.
it's hard to describe. Like, it's Lawrence Fishburne is the lead, but like Sam Neill was like, yeah, he's a co-lead. I mean, it's not split. Lawrence Fishburne is the man, but also Sam Neill's in it just as much as he is. So it's kind of hard.
Do it
like,
we doing
they're both on the
movies.
They're both on the poster.
But that's a tough watch.
Yeah, that's
a
scary film.
I haven't seen
that
as
a straight horror film.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I don't know why I brought that up. I forget it.
I guess because it's October.
Because we got to do it, and we got to come up with horror movies to do.
It's October.
Brother from Another Planet.
Have we not done that? Have we not done Event Horizon?
I probably have stopped it because I am terrified of them.
Have not watched it all the way through. So either if we did do it, I wasn't on that episode, but I've never seen that movie all the way through. So I don't think we've done it.
There's a doc on YouTube that the version that's out is the tame version.
No.
Because the guy shot so much other stuff, but the studio was like, we can't put this in theaters. And I was like, I
don't like
this. No. No, sir.
I don't like that.
No. But yeah.
All right. Guys, thank you so much for listening. You can follow us at Black Men Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. BlackMenPodcast.com is our website. You can find links to merchandise. We have t-shirts and things like from T Public. You can also subscribe to our defunct Patreon, meaning no new episodes, but there's 1 year of episodes on there if you haven't listened to them. And then also just to support if you would like. It's $5 a month and you can unsubscribe anytime. And if you rate and review us and give us 5 stars on iTunes, we will read your review on the air. And this week we are going to read a review. This is from, let's see, Jazzy Veronica Mars. Community. Thanks, y'all, for this podcast. I slept on it for years, but finally got around to it during the pandemic, and y'all really kept me company with the catalog. I often find myself starting a thought, and seconds later, one of you will say the exact same thing. It's so wonderful to feel...
Probably me.
All right, we don't gotta do this.
It's so wonderful to feel community through a podcast and hear a group of Black men with such a similar experience as mine talk about movies. Even when I think one of you are wild and I still love it. Aw, he still loves you, Gerard.
That's right. Damn, he got me.
I love y'all equally. I love y'all equally, but John more equally because his favorite movie is rightfully The Matrix. By the way, John, please do 10 minutes on your thoughts on the new trailer. Thanks for the content, and I'm excited to enjoy more from y'all.
I can give my thoughts on the trailer.
Wow. Hold on.
I'm tired of this.
I love this review.
People keep giving y'all love on the reviews. I don't get no love in these reviews.
That's not true. You got love.
I get love sometimes. That's true.
Yeah.
You get internet love. I feel like on Twitter, you get all the love.
It's not true. James, you rarely get hate on the reviews. Gerard and I definitely get hate.
Yeah, that's true.
for the love that we get, we also get people being like, stop doing what you're doing.
Yes. In the early days, though, I got a lot of like, James, what are you talking about stuff? But now,
yeah, that's true.
But now I don't give my opinions on movies. I love every movie.
No. James is balancing it out. Gerard hates every movie and James loves every movie.
James is officially trying to work in Hollywood. I'm like, man, some of them old episodes, I'm done. It's a wrap. We here.
I commit. Some of them old episodes? You still doing it?
When was the last time Gerard liked? Hold on, wait a minute. I don't even know.
I honestly don't remember the last time Gerard liked a movie.
Hey,
you probably have watched plenty this year, but it's so funny because you have a way. You have a way of being like, this movie is great for this X, Y, great. And Z movies.
I don't
X,
like
Y, Z
it.
Reasons. I don't like it.
But it's my thing. I'm just saying. Listen, it's good. Y'all should like it. I don't like
you
it.
Y'all should like it.
Listen,
we're like, just worried about, like, are you?
I don't know.
Do you enjoy movies anymore?
It's hard. I'm not going to lie. I be watching the movie like, no, I've liked the movie.
You like Fear Street.
I like Fear Street.
Yeah.
I didn't like Fear Street.
I liked The Green Knight, even though we didn't review that one, but I liked
Wait, you like The Green Knight?
Uh-oh. We don't got to talk about this.
I liked that Dev Patel got to do a part like that. Okay.
Okay, so do I.
I want a
but
career.
Do you like the movie?
Guys, you brought up the Green Knight.
You didn't even have to bring up the Green Knight.
When is this episode coming out? We gotta promote the Astronomy Club show.
We should plug it on this.
We have 2 Astronomy Club shows coming up October 8th and 10th. If you live in New York City.
Yes. Improv Asylum.
Improv Asylum, the North Coast Comedy Festival. Come on out October 8th. Or October 10th. 8th is a Friday. 10th is a Sunday.
Yeah. We had the whole game.
It's almost everybody. Who's not doing it? Chante. He's in Vermont.
He's in Vermont.
So come on out. Come on out. See Astronomy Club live. Freaking incredible.
I know.
All right.
We outside.
We'll see you there.
Peace.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production, produced by Melissa D. Montz. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.
Forever!